This is the Pacifica National Board Election Committee meeting of August 21st, 2005, and we have a quorum present, so I'm calling us to order. Mary, if you'd like to read the roll of people who are here, or just read the entire roll, perhaps.
Yeah, why don't you, well, let's just announce who we are, because I don't have the whole roll right in front of me. But I'm Mary Berg, and...
Carolyn Burton.
And then...
O'Barn Williams.
Okay.
Melinda Eiley Doan, Houston.
Okay.
Terry Goodman, new from KPFK.
And
woohoo!
Hi, Terry.
Patty Heffley, the WBAI.
And Richard, right?
And Richard from KPFA.
Okay.
Wonderful. That's fine.
So that's seven so far. And then if anybody leaves, could they please say that they're leaving?
Yes, and also if you mute yourself, it might help also. So
what,
it won't
please?
Be, if you mute yourself, it might help, so we don't continually ask for people to speak up when they're being muted, actually.
Right.
That would be a help. Well, if you all have the agenda with you, I sent out that revised agenda, number four.
Yeah.
And if we look at that, we didn't set times, but I would like to set some times because we have such a crowded agenda. Can we look at the items on here and see if we approve the agenda?
It's fine for me.
I hear.
Does anyone have a change?
Hey, those last minute changes, that's in agenda number four. The only item I would like to change is, let's see, what was the issue?
Wait a minute, didn't you make up the last agenda? What do you need to change something for?
Yeah. Well, the 3B, under unfinished business, there was the Election Rescue Act and then the mission statement. And both of those are rather complicated, and I'm wondering if, given the pressure of these other items, we can postpone those or table them until the next meeting.
I would go with that. I would go with that.
Objections to that?
I didn't hear any. Did anybody have an objection?
All right, hearing no objections, then we will table those only until the next meeting.
Or put them to the end of the agenda and see if we get to them.
All right, that would be good.
Okay.
Tabling them to the end of the agenda.
Yeah.
All right. Some of the items of the Election Rescue Act are dealt with and some are not, so we might want to really pick that up again before we go. Item number one was committee composition, and I don't think I had anything to add to that. We are short still someone from K and someone from W, and Rob was going to talk to the LSB in W on the 13th, but I haven't heard from him, so I'm assuming that they have not elected another person. And so at the moment, we're still, and Terry has graciously come in from K, so we do have representation from there.
Oh, wait, did we get the agenda approved okay?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was
did anybody object to anything else on it?
Yes.
That's a good point. Moving right along. Anybody have any changes? Have you had time to read those motions and so on?
Well, sounds like nobody did.
Well, I read some of it, but didn't do all of it.
Well, is there anything you wanted to add to it? I mean, we can amend what's on there, but adding and taking away, I guess, is crucial at this point.
Well, don't all talk at once.
Yeah.
Shall we agree to approve it as amended?
Yeah, hearing no objections then, shall we approve it as amended?
That's cool with me.
Okay.
All right, good. We'll move along then. Then we're down to the committee composition. As I said, we're still short one or two people, but at the moment, we have enough to function with. So I'm hoping people from K and W can continue to try to find people who want to serve on the committee, because we really are shorthanded. Does anybody have any ideas for people from either K or W who might be willing to serve?
I can speak to about K. I joined as a delegate member because nobody else would.
Very gracious of you, Terry.
At the meeting before last, we tried to get people to volunteer, and they didn't. And I guess we need a director member, which would have to be appointed by the PNB, but our directors are taking over officer positions on the PNB and are very swamped, so it'll be hard to get a director from K on.
Mm. And the bylaws have no provision for a substitute for that, either a director from another station or a non-director, do they?
Nope. I think...
Unless we'd speak to Maria, see if she would agree soon.
I doubt it, given her schedule, but...
Yeah. For sure.
I don't know. You know, with the Sunday, I mean, I know it's the time people have to, like, kind of relax and chill out, but I don't know. I mean, I'll be willing to call her and just to...
All right, I appreciate that, Lauren. Thank you.
Yeah, before the September PNB meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Would help. Thank you. All right. Now, the next item, do we want to set times for some of these items? Because otherwise we're going to be running along, or we should sort of...
I think the guideline times are okay, and you've got some times. And
just watch your clock along the way, and if we start getting close to running out of time, remind everybody.
We'll do that. Okay, so the next meeting date I was going to suggest, the third Sunday, if we want to keep that. But I'm also assuming that we will not get to the end of our agenda tonight, and wonder if we could agree now to... an adjournment of this meeting only until the 30th and 31st, a continuation of this meeting on either Tuesday or Wednesday, the 30th or the 31st. That's the last Tuesday I'll be available, but I'm available either of those 2 days in August.
That sounds fine with me.
I won't be here, but...
You won't be here anyway. You know. Is there anyone who cannot make the 30th Tuesday night besides
Mary? Me?
Is the 30th all right then for everybody? If I can get space. I think last time I looked, the calendar was empty.
What time of day?
Well, I was going to say evening again. 8 p.m., is that bad?
I'd have to come late.
They'd have to come late?
Mm-hmm. Because I leave at 7 o'clock is when I leave my house. I mean, I leave at work.
Oh, I see.
And it takes me 30 minutes mm-hmm. to get home, 30, 45 minutes to get home.
Is Wednesday better for everybody? Is there anyone who cannot make Wednesday the 31st?
Wednesday be fine with me.
There is no September 31st. You mean
No, August
31st. Okay.
August 31st, sorry.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I won't be there.
I know you won't be there. Okay.
Are you on vacation?
Yep.
Why did we move it until like 5:30 or 6? I mean, I know that's 9 o'clock Eastern time.
That's fine. I don't think it'll be a terribly long meeting. So 6 Pacifica, 9 Eastern on the 31st. Is that all right?
That would be much better for me.
Oh. Be worse for me, but...
I'm sorry.
Aww.
That's 6 is when I start work.
Oh, dear.
Can we split the difference?
5:30 on... Are we talking Tuesday now or Wednesday?
No, Wednesday.
Wednesday the 31st.
Is that better than 6?
Yeah, gives me a half hour.
All right. That might be enough. We'll see if we can't work fast. Thank you, then.
I'll
put that on
words.
The calendar.
So 5:30?
5:30 on August 30th.
When you're saying 5:30, whose time 5:30?
Pacific time, 8:30 Eastern time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 7:30 Central?
Yeah.
Right.
I'd have to run maybe a little late.
All right. Well, we'll pick up where Terry was.
But I definitely would be there.
All right. That's fine.
Can someone go in and schedule that right now?
I can.
Okay. I'm not sure. Someone said you couldn't put in like half hours, but I thought you could.
Yeah,
but if
you
not,
can.
Why couldn't you?
But yes, you can.
That's what I thought too. But someone had said that once.
Who is someone doing this?
Yes.
Okay. Who's doing that?
Terry.
Okay.
Hey, Terry. Thank you. Next item is the approval of the minutes from July 10th, which I sent around again, and which are rather long. Everybody have a chance to look through those?
Well, I sent them out on July 22nd initially.
Right, and I just sent another copy for the new people and people who might have lost their old copies.
Well, the new people won't be able to approve the minutes if they weren't
there.
That's
true, because they weren't there.
Right.
There's a good point.
Then we should be fine.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Do we have to second on that?
No, you don't have to do that on the phone.
No, we don't. Any objections then to approving those? Okay, thank you very much. Well, moving right along.
Okay.
All right, now we're down to the report, and which is 7 pages, which I had sent late last night, and the uniform definition of unpaid staff. Mary, would you like to read that, or shall I?
Yeah, sure. Resolved that the PNB require that the unpaid staff organizations of KPFA and WBAI revise their criteria for membership in the station voting rolls, MEMSIS database, to conform to the requirements of the bylaws for unpaid staff members as follows. Quote, any volunteer or unpaid staff member of a foundation radio station who has worked for said radio station at least 30 hours in the preceding 3 months, exclusive of fundraising marathon telephone room volunteer time. Said volunteer work shall be performed under the supervision of the foundation radio station management and shall not include volunteer work on committees of a local station board. Unquote. And further, that in each station, the general manager shall identify by name the manager or paid employee who shall be responsible for the record keeping and ultimate delivery of records attesting to the conformity to the requirements of the bylaws for unpaid staff members, whether or not they are members of an unpaid staff organization. Said records to be validated by the local and national election supervisor as required.
Right, that is the motion.
That is it.
And it's open for discussion. I think if you looked at the report that I had written, I had really put together a great deal of information from the final reports of the various station supervisors and local and the national and a rationale for this. And I had also, as agreed way back when, in July, interviewed I got to 4 of the 5 general managers and several other people in several stations who are responsible for record keeping and so on. And putting that together with what I had, and I think the report gives you page numbers, and I'll post that for the general public after this meeting. I think what we need to do is to bring my argument for doing this was to bring everybody in line so that all the voting staff members were there on the basis of the same criteria. And then if individual stations want to have unpaid staff organizations with different criteria, that would be fine. But I thought that the voting database should be synchronized somehow.
Carry on, Stack.
Richard on Stack, please.
Carry, go ahead.
Carry on, Stack. Carry.
I think it would be good to divide the resolution because I have problems with the first part. The qualifications used by unpaid staff unions in determining their membership eligibility were designed for purposes other than governance elections. And the difference in definitions might be valid in the context of workplace negotiations. And I think it's improper for governance to interfere with that. Mandating a change, which governance can only do by directing managers to withdraw recognition of bargaining units at their stations, for those whose membership criteria don't comply with what we would like them to be, would temporarily deny bargaining representation to the unpaid workers at WBAI and KPFA.
Not at KPFA. We don't got no bargaining unit.
Oh, okay. Maybe WBAI is the only place that has one.
Fine.
Moreover, any change agreed by the bargaining units in order to get re-recognized would likely result in some change of their membership. So we would be denying access to union grievance procedures to whomever the new definition left out of the union. And in the interim between when recognition was withdrawn and they changed their definitions, if they ever did so, then they would be left without representation. I think the real reason why the definition of staff used in the bargaining units where they exist take precedence over the definition in the bylaws is because those definitions are superior to the definition definitions in the bylaws, and I think it'd be better to change the bylaws definition to match what the union people think that constitutes staff than the other way around. The biggest problem I see with the definition that's in the bylaws is that individuals who do work without management supervision are automatically not considered staff, and that can include anything from a maintenance volunteer at the station who just refuses to be supervised to the popular host of a national syndicated program who doesn't work.
Point of information, please.
Particular
please?
Station. So that's my argument against it.
Whose point of information, please? Who's speaking?
This is Serene. Do we have quorum for this meeting?
Who's
this?
Serene,
please?
I didn't hear you.
Serene,
didn't
are you on the list? Yes. Yes, certainly. We do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when did you
how many members are on the phone?
There's eight now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're required to have eight to begin with.
No, we're required to have seven.
I'm sorry?
Seven was the quorum, Serena. We had seven and started the meeting. You make eight, actually, unless someone else has come on and we have nine, but we now have eight members.
Okay, I've just been trying to catch your voices. I'm only getting six. Can you identify who's on the call? I didn't hear attendance.
No. Also, yes, I will, but certainly, but for everyone, please, when you come on or when you go off or when you mute yourself, would you please let us know that you're either here or not here? Present are Mary Burke, myself, Terry, Patty Heffley, Terry Goodman, Patty Heffley, Melinda Eiley-Doan, Richard Phelps, and LaVarne Williams, and yourself. Okay, next on the stack is Richard.
Well, Terry, I guess I have a very different view than you. It seems to me that when you have bylaws that are in effect that any subsidiary part of an organization has to comply with those. And actually, I feel like, in a way, that this motion is redundant because all those people should be complying with the bylaws. And, you know, they can't just go off on their own and say, we're going to do something different. I mean, that's not the way things work. They can do whatever they want, but if they don't comply with the bylaws, I would say that they do not qualify, you know, to vote. I mean, we have a rule here. It's been established, and if it's wrong, you want to change it, that's fine. But until it's changed, that's the rule, and the subsections of the corporation need to follow the bylaws with regard to keeping track of who's, you know. Otherwise, we could have a different criteria for listener memberships at each station, and people doing all kinds of strange things and not have a uniform practice, and that's the reason you have bylaws. So the fact that somebody went off and did something different, you know, they can do whatever they want in terms of organizing themselves, but for criteria for membership to vote, that has to comply with the bylaws. I think that's what any judge would rule, I think, if this thing got dragged into court.
Mary, is on the stack.
Mary, you are next, but I just wanted to issue a point of clarification to what Terry said. Neither of the unpaid staff groups at KPFA or BAI are actually unions, they're committees. And they don't, they may negotiate, but it's an informal way. They aren't members of unions, and they cannot be because they're not paid. So they are simply committees.
I thought they were in New York now.
No, they're not a union.
Carolyn's taking the line that the OPND did when it busted up the union.
Excuse me. Some of the terms are used in
Could people identify and put themselves on the stack rather than just interrupting people?
Are you on the stack right now in that statement?
Excuse me?
Hang on a minute.
Excuse me. Mary is next, please.
Okay. If somebody wants to go, I have a call just came in, so I have to take that.
All right.
But I'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a point of information.
Yes.
I have a point of information.
Yes, go ahead.
This is Serene. I'd like to know all the people you spoke with, and I'd like to know whether you spoke with any of the unions.
I'm sorry, you'd like to know the people I spoke with at the
people you claim you spoke with in preparing the report. And I would like to know whether you spoke with any of the unions. There are unions at KPFA and at WBAI.
The paid unions or the unpaid staff organizations?
I believe the focus of your attack is the unpaid staff, so the focus
That's
of
right.
my question is the unpaid staff.
All right, the unpaid staff organizations, not
How
paid.
Rude.
Mm-hmm. I spoke to the general managers, as I said, I think, before you came on, and to different people at the various stations. My focus then was on the record-keeping not on the organizing or the unpaid staff organizations. So, no, I did not make a point to speak to those. I believe I'm next on the stack, and I just wanted to make a couple of points. The first one was the one I made earlier, point of clarification, that these are organizing committees. Number two, I think, Terry, your point that the organizing one group would interfere with the ability of the other, I'm not so sure that that would hold true, simply because if, in fact, there was a database of people who have to be vetted and they have to be authenticated by the national supervisor, and if you look carefully at the national supervisors and the local supervisors' reports, that was a major issue. There was no record-keeping such that they could do that. There was no way for them to vet those lists, so they had to take them on faith, which cannot be. We can't allow that in the future. So I don't think that they will be out of an organizing committee, but if they want to vote as staff members, then they need to somehow be authenticated, and they have to attest to the fact that they complied with the bylaws rules. That doesn't preclude their joining or not joining. We have, I do believe, people at WBI, as I recall last year, someone said to me that there are people who don't belong in the sense that there was no list. People who work, do unpaid staff work, but are not on any committee list. So I'm not so sure that the two things are incompatible. I'm seeing two separate tracks here.
I'd like to go next.
Could I take
this is Serene.
Mary Berry here? Could I?
Serene is next, and then Mary.
No, I think Mary was on before she.
Excuse me.
Excuse me.
Yes.
I just delayed my turn to because I had to take.
Mary. That is
right. That's what I was saying.
But I'd like to talk because I'm going to have to go now because that's the call that. I do have this emergency situation where I've got to go.
Of course, go ahead.
So I'll just put my two cents worth on this. As to Richard's point, these organizations, both the staff organizations that exist, were in existence before the bylaws. So they would have to change after the fact. So, I mean, it's not like they formed and didn't agree with the bylaws. And so that's one thing that this motion would do, which is good. Because otherwise we have to wait, for example, at KPFA, the unpaid staff organization isn't going to change its bylaws again until January, according to its own bylaws. And the problem that I see with having these different things, the KPFA bylaws, for example, have 30 hours and 12 months. Well, we have different membership rules then. And I don't personally see how you could have membership meaning to vote and then membership in the organization. That's a little bit, as it were, you know, we make this rule only for membership to vote, but otherwise not. So I think we should have something like this, and I don't agree either. I don't see, well, I don't know. If you have a union, Terry, in New York for your unpaid staff, we used to have one, and you guys did too, I guess. But, you know, it doesn't. I don't see how it affects any of the. There's no bargaining unit. I don't see how it affects voting rights or anything like that. So, I'm pretty much in favor of having this motion. There's a small part. Telephone room volunteer time ought to really include people who come there to help mail out premiums and stuff. Those people really are not staff. They're not dealing with staff issues. They're not involved in staff issues, and I think they should be included. But they're not in the bylaws, and if it would make too much hassle, then I would go with it the way it is. It's better than what we've got. That's my two cents, and I have to go, and I'll just get the minutes off the audio, which I know John will do beautifully.
Okay, Mary, thank you.
And I'd love to be able to vote on this, but that's my take on it anyway.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.
This is Rob Robinson. I have joined the call late.
Hello, Rob.
Hello, board.
Mary, Serene is next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, Carolyn, I really would like a list of the people that you spoke with for this report. I do remember when you talked about it, expressing interest in being a part of those discussions and also making sure that the same types of questions were asked of people. And I think certainly if you're investigating a staff matter, it seems rather curious that you would deliberately exclude a staff person who would be able to lend a greater familiarity, you know, and a greater understanding to the issues being discussed. So I find that very curious, and I find it objectionable, in fact. and I would like to know with whom you spoke, and I think it's rather distressing that in spite of my specific request two calls ago when you first broached the idea of going out and speaking to people, I said very clearly that I felt that the staff who were the target of this act should in fact be engaged in a discussion, and that you would go out and create a 6-page report, post it the day that we're meeting, not identify who you spoke with, not speak to any of the union people. You know, it creates the kind of bad feeling that I think we can all do without. It's not productive. Additionally, you made a claim that there was no database. There was a list of all the staff people pasted on the wall during our last election, pasted on the wall near the entrance of BAI. It
very
was posted, excuse me, I'm speaking, whoever you are.
Someone on
it
the
was
staff,
posted, it was posted on September 17th, 2004, and was removed after the election. So to suggest that there was no way that anyone knew who was on the staff, there was no database, there was no way to check, yada, yada. You know, it's so, well, it's false. And I wonder why you would want to engage in that kind of conduct.
Well, let me respond to what you said. I did hear you, and as I recall, I pointed out that we did have a subcommittee and that we would get together. I put out a call on the list for a work group to meet. I put out a couple of evenings for a telephone conference, and I only got one answer, and that was from Melinda. You never responded. So I went ahead and did what I thought should be done, which I had promised to do on that same call, which was to contact general managers and find out what the general status of record keeping was in the station. It wasn't an attempt to talk to the unpaid staff organizing people and find out what their wishes were or what their situations were. I wanted to find out what their record keeping was. I'm looking at it from the point of view, the only one I could, of the elections committee. What do the election supervisors need in order to get out of the impasse? There was universal complaint that they had no way to vet these particular lists. It's an intolerable situation. It's an illegal situation. And if anyone wanted to challenge the elections on that basis, they certainly could. And that's what I was aiming at. What kind of record keeping do we need in order to bring us into compliance with legality? My other motive.
And it never occurred to you to speak to the people who do the record keeping?
Excuse me, I'm still talking. The other motive I had was to avoid a bylaws change, which I didn't think would be necessary, because there were bylaws specifically determining who is a staff member. And I thought that the unpaid staff organizing committees were separate from that. They could have their own rules and their own criteria if they felt it necessary. And I'm not so sure they all do. But that I did not check. So that was where that was.
Exactly.
Is anyone else
like
on this particular stack?
I'm sorry. You actually didn't address something that I asked. I asked when you did this report, since you posted it just hours before this meeting.
Excuse me. Let me see. Who else is on the stack here? Richard?
Add Terry to the stack.
Terry, anyone else?
I wanted to speak. This is Rob.
Rob. Okay. Thank you, Rob. Now, as for the time, I think I said in the report, during July I made these phone calls over a period of a couple of weeks, and I'm still waiting for a call back from one general manager, although I think I talked to somebody in that station. That was the time frame.
Somebody in that station.
Okay, Richard?
I'll pass for now.
Mm-hmm. Terry?
Rob hasn't spoken.
Rob, all right, go ahead.
I'm trying to understand what we're trying to do vis-a-vis the unpaid staff and what it is that we think that that's being done that violates the bylaws. What action are we taking right now?
Well, do you have the motion in front of you? That was in the agenda. This is the first motion.
Which version of the agenda?
Four versions of the agenda, Carolyn.
Right, it's number four, the latest one. Mm-hmm.
Hey, you guys, this is Wendy. Sorry,
Hi,
I'm late.
Hi, Wendy, glad you're here. Okay, that's fine.
Tell me what the motion is?
Yes, it's a motion that essentially requires the unpaid staff organizations to revise their criteria for membership in the voting rolls in the Memphis database to conform to the requirements of the bylaws for unpaid staff members. And the purpose was to bring them everyone into the same requirements to be a voting member, unpaid staff member.
So we're now making piecemeal adjustments into the elections procedures.
We are trying to reconcile one of the problems that was...
Are we making piecemeal adjustments to the elections procedures or not?
What do you mean by piecemeal, Ross?
Order, please.
Pardon?
Members are speaking out of order.
I mean, are we making changes in the process on an ad hoc basis, or is there some process by which we're proceeding, Carolyn?
The process is motion by motion and item by item. What I explained in the report that I put out and what I had said last week was that the purpose of the work that we were doing would be essentially to go over the complaints and problems from the last elections, the last two elections, and try to address them as best we could. And my thought was that this would address this particular problem without the necessity for a bylaws amendment and in such a way that it would regularize the process and bring all of the voting people into compliance so that everybody was a voting member on the same basis. Some did not have to do more work than others.
Okay. In that regard, Carolyn, have we finalized the mission?
No, we have not. Obviously, I think before you came on, I put it on the agenda, but I didn't have any revisions, so we ended up postponing it until the next meeting. We tabled it essentially to the next meeting.
Okay, we're gonna table the mission, but we're gonna make changes now in the procedures.
Exactly.
Point of information, that was actually tabled to the end of this meeting, if there's time.
Thank you. Well, actually, I don't know if that particular item was the WBAI Election Rescue Act. Was tabled to the end of this meeting.
Okay, I stand corrected.
And then the mission. Thank you.
So in what regard is that, are we not making ad hoc changes into the elections procedures?
Well, by ad hoc, you mean one by one. I don't know any other way to make them other than to revise the entire code and do that, which was not my intention.
So we don't have any organizing methodology by which we're approaching the elections.
I see this as the organizing method, but you know, obviously.
What is the organizing method?
Excuse me, order, please. What's happening here?
I'm asking questions back and forth. I think members should maintain the floor while they speak, rather than just have crosstalk between the chair
and
a member.
LaVarne and Patty and anybody else on the.
Richard on the stack.
This is LaVarne Williams. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we seem to have been going along on the agenda, addressing motions, discussing it, then all of a sudden it got into, like, what is the agenda and are we making ad hoc changes versus addressing the issues at one time. So I think that we need to just move this issue to the next meeting as far as, you know, I don't know what these ad hoc changes are anyway, but if we could just stay on the agenda, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, thank you, LaVarne. Patty?
Well, it seems like, if I understand what we're trying to do on this resolution, is to regularize the voting so everyone gets the same way as a staff person across the network. And then, I mean, can it be that that's one thing, these organizing committees, their membership, it seems to me like you have to have some protocol for these people. Otherwise, you just, you know, as it happens, I believe, in the committee, a person just claims to be a member and then they become a member. And there's no way to examine exactly if, in fact, person did the work or not, or who they belong to, or any of these things, which, you know, can in the end make a very unbalanced election process for those that, you know, have the time to work on those kind of things. So I think this is a, you know, I hear what Terry's saying, but I think we still have to find a way to make sure that that it's fair that a person has to participate and do the work and has to be accountable someplace. So, right, so the supervisor can examine the list and to make sure that they're properly peppered with people instead of not, you know, just people added or you know, collectives with 15 people and they haven't done anything except two of them for a year, but they all belong because they said they did. And that's right. We need to figure out how to make that the 15 people, if they didn't do anything, aren't voting members. That's, I guess, what this is trying to address, is it not?
Yes, thank you. That's exactly the problem. And that's the problem that the general managers described to me, that they had no handle on who was a member and who was not in many cases of unpaid staff groups. Terry, did I skip you on the list? I know you had wanted to speak, and I don't know whether
yes,
before or after
Richard.
Richard.
Richard passed ahead of me. I can go if he wants, but if he wants to go first, I'll yield.
Well, I have a couple things to say. One, I am rather distressed about the process, the way this meeting has turned. We got started and we organized, and two people show up late, and they come in with very aggressive tone and attitude, and I just think that's very inappropriate. You know, you should be on time. We'd already read that motion, and we've done some things. We're trying to work cooperatively, and what we get is two people coming on acting like somebody else is, you know, trying to do something illegal, and I really find that offensive, and I don't think that's a Pacifica methodology. I don't think it's a progressive or a left methodology. I think it's a sectarian methodology, and it really offends me. So
now you
I
know
just,
where we feel at KPFT right now.
I think we need to stay with the agenda. This trying to say something's wrong with dealing with something on an ad hoc basis, trying to be there's a particular problem that's been identified. Everybody knows it was a problem, and we have a motion to try to deal with it. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. That doesn't mean you have to wait till everything else is done to do it. I'd like to have everybody go back and listen to this tape and see how the meeting changed when these last two people showed up, because it was really cooperative and then it got ugly. And I really think those people should really look at your behavior and try to be more cooperative.
Hey, Terry?
Okay, I wanted to correct something Richard said regarding the bylaws. Under the bylaws, if a unpaid staff bargaining unit exists and has been recognized by the general manager, then it's their criteria for staff membership that, under the bylaws, defines a staff member in member categorization. So the problems that are trying to be addressed are because some unpaid staff organization or bargaining units do exist and do have different criteria for membership, and because they are independent organizations, there's a problem in auditing their membership in order to confirm what their membership is. I do want to reemphasize that under the bylaws, certain individuals that everyone would think of as staff, like Gary Null and Amy Goodman, would not qualify as staff members. So if we go to the current bylaws definition of categorizing staff versus listener members, then there will be air talent that will not qualify as staff and will be free to run to be listener sponsor representatives in LSB elections. That said, I do agree that we need a uniform understanding of the definition of staff in the bylaws. I believe that it would be proper to correct the bylaws in order to have that uniform definition. I would like to move that the motion to be divided into its two parts so that the section and further is considered separately. I would further like to move that the first part be amended to delete everything following the comma after unpaid staff members, so that the bylaws are not quoted in that motion, That way, this motion would persist if the problem with definitions in the bylaws is corrected. Thus, the first part of the motion, if it is divided, would read, resolve that the PNB require that the unpaid staff organizations of KPFA and WBAI revise their criteria for membership in the station voting rolls, MIMSIS database, to conform to the requirements of the bylaws for unpaid staff members, period. And that we would consider that separately from resolve that in each station the general manager, you know,
all right, two points of information, Terry. Why would Gary Null or Amy, of course, Null is no longer a consideration since he's not there, why would Amy Goodman not qualify as an unpaid?
Because she's not under the supervision of management. In the definition for staff members, in the bylaws, their hours have to be under management supervision.
Good point. I would assume that under supervision would simply mean someone would attest the fact that they did the work on paper. And if it took a volunteer coordinator or a general manager to do that, then that would be, I think that disagreement could be disposed of. My second question is, by deleting the bylaws requirements, you're leaving us back where we are, dependent on the goodwill of staff organizations that have already demonstrated that they have no intention of...
I'm sorry, that's really objectionable. Carolyn, you really have to stop that.
Order, please.
Actually, I did not change the sense of the first part of the motion.
I'm saying effectively, though, by saying that they conform to the quorum of bylaws for unpaid staff members, that would simply leave us again where we started, and the problem was that there was no accountability. That's why the second half was put in there, to make someone accountable, and the first was put in to put an actual number to it rather than to leave it, because the requirements of the bylaws are, as you point out, that an unpaid staff organization be given credence.
I see what your objection is. Okay, then before a second on that, we could say unpaid staff members who are not members of a bargaining union. That would make it clear that the same requirements apply to all staff, irrespective of their membership in a bargaining union.
Well, the term even bargaining unit is questionable because I don't know that that both organizations do bargaining.
Yeah.
People bargain for more than money, Carolyn.
Excuse me.
We are a bargaining unit.
Order, please.
I was just going to ask if KPFA, if the unit there actually negotiates terms of engagement with management. I don't know that they do, but I don't know that they don't. I'm just asking an open question. But point of information, Terry. Do you think how would you monitor conformity to the requirements of the bylaws without the second half of this motion?
Well. I'm assuming that the second half of the motion will pass if it's divided.
Uh-huh.
Point of order, I guess. I improperly suggested an amendment at the same time as dividing it. Motions in committee don't require seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So I would ask that my motion amending the first part be ruled out of order, and that my motion to divide the question is on the table, and we either discuss that or vote on dividing the question.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's acceptable. Any discussion on dividing the question?
I would actually ask that we table this motion until there's some discussion with the people affected. I can't, you know, before I make changes to their lives, to things that affect my children's lives, I have discussions with them. Why you are so opposed to having a discussion with the adults that produce programming at the station and who constitute the unpaid staff units? What is your fear?
Are there other people
that discuss another person?
That was a motion.
Excuse me.
A motion to table.
Excuse me. Was there a stack?
No, Terry had simply made the motion to divide.
And I made a motion to table, which trumps that.
All right, we need to vote on that then.
Point of order, you can't make a motion if you don't have the floor.
And
she asked whether there was any discussion. She opened the floor.
That's fine. I didn't know if you were next on the list.
Point of order.
And it seems to me you haven't waited to be on your place the whole meeting.
I don't think I need you to tell me my place, sir. I don't know you that well, and you certainly don't know me that well.
Order, please. Richard, this is inappropriate. Let us continue, please.
Point of order?
Yes.
When a motion to divide is on the floor, the debate is on the motion to divide.
Thank you.
The motion to table would be tabling the motion to divide. And I don't think that's what the member
My intent is to table all discussion of this motion, whether to divide it or to kill it.
Oh, well, that's out of order then.
That would be an order after the motion to divide is settled.
Yeah.
Okay, this is Laverne Magnet on its staff.
Yes, Laverne, please.
You know, that's dividing is fine. I mean, that sounds fine with me. I think I don't have any agreement with that. And can we just continue to have, like Richard had said, like we started, where people are recognized, get on the stack, and then speak? I would appreciate that, to reestablish the order that we had before Serene and Rob came on.
Yes, thank you.
Actually,
I would appreciate that, too.
Point of personal privilege. The fact that you have a group of people who are equally unhappy with the staff election results and have been trying to overturn them for months,
and
it doesn't mean that you have order. It means you have a conspiracy.
Serene, you're out of order.
So are you, Ms. Burden.
Are we taking the...
I am appalled.
Entertain a motion to censure this member. It's very difficult to
meet a
meeting with such impossible interruptions and overriding.
Call the question.
For censure or the
censure.
Division?
Censure.
For censure.
Okay. Going down the list, Terry.
Do I get to speak in my own defense?
Terry?
Aye.
That's a point of question.
Patty?
That's a point of information.
No. Mm-hmm. Patty?
Oh, this is great.
Yes.
Even in courts in the U.S., you get to speak
Melinda?
For yourself.
Linda? Richard?
Yes.
Rob?
No.
Wendy?
Yes.
And LaVarne?
Yes.
Rob is not here. Rob is here, I'm sorry. Ted is not here. Carol's not here. Serene, I assume answer.
You're a farce. This is a farce. This entire, your unhappiness about the election results and the way you've been using
point
it
of order,
to attack
please.
Staff
point of, I mean,
is
order,
ridiculous.
Please.
It is unhealthy. It is abnormal.
I'm
going
to interrupt. If you can't control yourself, you might want to consider leaving the meeting until you can.
No,
you're
Carolyn, you need
disruptive.
To control yourself. This
you're
is madness.
Extremely disruptive. There's a motion to divide.
This is madness.
I believe that Carolyn is the chair.
It doesn't change the fact that this is madness.
I believe you are censured now. Can we please move on?
Yes.
What does censured mean?
Well, the next time I have to deal with this kind of interruption, I'm going to ask to have you leave the committee.
I'm sure that's what you've wanted all along. You refused to send me emails about
the meeting.
You've been very clear that you do not want me involved, Carol.
Order, please.
You've been very clear.
Order, please.
Order. May we have some order, please?
I request that the minutes reflect that the member has spoken out of order numerous times. And that the member be named in the minutes.
Yes. I'm sure Mary will do that. Now, the motion to divide is on the floor, and if we can take a vote on that. I'll go down the list again. I just have an alphabetical list. Mary is out. I'll come to myself last. Terry?
Yes.
Yes. Patty?
Yes.
Melinda? Melinda, are you there?
Yes.
Yes. Richard?
Yes.
Serene?
Abstain.
Rob?
Yes.
Wendy?
Yes.
It kind of reminds me of the Shroud of Turin.
LaVarne?
Yes.
All right, so that motion passes. And, Serene, you had a motion to...
I have a motion to table this. I can't believe that we're in the process of discussing staff organizations, what they need to do, what they need to do differently. We don't have the basic information because you have steadfastly refused
point of order, point of
to
order.
Engage
the staff. Point of order.
Terry, can you guide me through this? Do we have to discuss this or simply vote on a motion to table?
Discussion of a motion to table should be on the merits of tabling, not on the main motion.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
All right. Can we have that discussion? Anybody have any comments on tabling this motion?
Carrie.
Carrie LaVarne. Mm-hmm.
I think the second part of the divided motion would pass and is not so contentious. So I would like to amend the motion to table only the first part of the motion, I mean of the divided motion.
Okay, do we have to deal with that first, or can we finish the stack? LaVarne, imagine you're next.
My position is that, you know, I think that the move to table the motion is just the disruption of the meeting that we're trying to conduct, and I don't take it as seriously a motion to try to conduct business today. So, you know, I just think that it's just a tool to disrupt the meeting versus being a real means to move this to another time.
Hey, anybody else want to speak to that?
Yeah, I'd like to speak to the motion.
Serene, go ahead.
I'm speaking. Any decision that is made that affects the staff should, at a minimum, involve conversation with the staff. If it affects the way the staff unions function, paid or unpaid, it should involve conversations with the, at least, at the very least, the stewards of those bodies. And, you know, to go around claiming, oh, this is disruptive, that is anti-Pacifican, you know, we can throw around the language as much as we want.
Excuse me, this is out of order. The point is to address the tabling, not the merits of the motion.
I am speaking, excuse me. And since you have steadfastly refused to engage the unpaid staff union, I would ask that this motion be tabled until such a time as I or someone else is actually willing to engage people respectfully, which I think is essential if we're to get anything done, until such a time as someone else can do that, because you've refused to do it. And it is an essential part of any discussion affecting staff.
This is Patty.
Mm-hmm.
waiting to discuss the with unions and such things like that at this time is, it would be, unless you felt exactly the same way, to have open forums of discussing anything else.
She's breaking up. I can't understand what she's saying.
Excuse me, this is not, you're out of order, Serene.
No, I'm saying I can't understand what she's
saying.
I'm breaking
up. Can I be heard by everyone?
Yes, fine, go ahead.
Yes.
Okay. It seems to me that we can decide these things on the merits of what they are and whether they comply with the bylaws and if it sounds reasonable. Otherwise, it's actually unfair. If we're going to go ask the unions for before we can discuss an issue, then we have to have open forums of the listeners before we can discuss anything about them. And clearly, I don't see that happening. So I think this motion to table till we discuss things with people is just a delay tactic, and I prefer that we move to a vote on the...
Point of information. Who is speaking?
This is Rob.
Rob?
I'd like to, what is the problem with unions? why are we objecting to unions?
I think that's a misstatement of the...
No, I heard the statement. I'd just like to know what the problem is with unions.
Mm-hmm.
Point of information.
That Ms. Heffley raised.
The barn?
I'm just trying... I'm going to have to get in my car and get on my cell phone. So I'm just trying to see when are we going to take a vote soon, so I'll know when I can like get off. And
yes, I think so. I think it's time to vote on this.
Okay, that's
I asked to be put on the stack.
Who is next, please?
This is Serena.
I'm sorry. So my question's not going to be answered.
Well,
what's
I thought
wrong with unions? I think that's
because there's nobody really thinks there's anything wrong with unions.
But that's the statement that Ms. Heffley made.
Excuse me. I didn't say anything's wrong with unions. I'm saying it's almost if you're going to, that's giving the unions a preference over listeners. If we have to stop and ask the unions everything, I think we can take these motions on their merits. Otherwise, we have to stop and ask the listeners when we're going to discuss an issue that has to do with them.
Excuse me,
don't interrupt me. You asked my question.
What is this debate going back and forth? May we have some order, please?
I would like to have a simple answer, Patty, and then, Rob, if you want to speak after Patty's finished, go right ahead. Otherwise, we'll finish the conversation. Patty, do you have anything more to add?
I just explained it gives preferential treatment to unions and staff over listeners. If we're going to go conduct an interview with people, we can take these decisions on their own merits. I think that we're all, you know, well-educated and understanding of the issues, and we don't need to, you know, we can vote yes or no. Let's just vote yes or no. I don't think that, you know, we don't, like I said, we don't go to the listeners for every question, and here we're going to do that. It's preferential treatment to staff, and that's why I'm saying I don't think I can decide on my own what I think. I don't, you know, need to ask people, and that's what I'm saying, and that doesn't have anything to do with what's wrong with unions. It has to do with my, you know, I'm kind of offended people are asking me that right now. It should be clear what I'm saying. Thank
Point
you.
Of order, the question and the answer were not relative to the motion.
Exactly.
I asked to be put on the staff.
Yes. Thank you. I'm sorry.
This is Serene. I asked to be put on the staff.
I was going to close the stack and vote after Patty and Rob had their say. I believe everyone
I asked to be put on the stack prior to that.
Oh, I thought you had said made a speech already on that screen. Go right ahead then. Briefly.
Carolyn, I think you should try to chair the meeting without snippy comments. I don't consider...
A motion to center again, please.
I didn't characterize your presentation of your position. Carolyn, I didn't characterize your presentation of your position repeatedly because you responded to everyone's statement. I did not characterize that as your speech. So why is it okay for you, in your role as chair, which is supposed to be neutral, okay to refer to my presentation as a speech?
Motion to censure the member again.
I asked a question of the chair with regard to her conduct, which is out of order.
I would like to move to a vote on this.
I would like to speak. I would like to speak without the... Excuse me, I have not spoken to the issue. I question your behavior.
You're out of order.
Carolyn,
this is very disruptive.
It is my turn
to
speak. I would like to speak.
Excuse me, I'd like to go to a vote on the second half of this motion. Terry, is that what
you would like
to vote on the second half?
I asked for the floor. I was recognized. I was recognized with a comment. I thought you gave your speech already. That is not the way a chair behaves.
Motion to send to the member. All comments are rude.
Serene,
and I would
like to
lighten up.
You're out of order again.
I would like to speak. I would like to speak.
I believe I have the floor.
Please.
The member was
I believe I have the floor. I was recognized.
You were ruled out of order. That means you no longer...
She recognized me and then ruled me out of order because I told her she shouldn't say, go ahead and make... I thought you already made your speech.
The member
was
not...
And that seems reasonable to you?
The motion on the table.
Excuse me?
The motion on the table is regarding tabling the first part of the motion.
I am speaking to that. I was recognized to speak to that. I took issue with the chair's response to me, which has been uniformly
rude. Your issue out of order.
You don't know what... Fine, then I'll speak. I think your behavior is out of order, but clearly we're not going to get any such vote on this meeting. I'd now like to speak to the motion. That is what I asked for.